which reminds us of the words of John 3, verse 18, that says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but the one that does not believe has already been condemned, which means that faith determines salvation and disbelief determines damnation. And that's what we will read starting on verse 12 of Genesis 19. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against this people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. And he said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and you will be swept away, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out to the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my lords. Please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here's a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. He said to him, very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land, and then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful, powerful word. I ask that your love may prevail in the midst of all of us who are going to listen to your message, to your truth. May it mark the way for our life, and may you make the miracle in each of the lives who are at risk of being condemned and losing the great opportunity of being saved. Lord, I beg you that for the glory of your name, you may grant salvation and eternal life today. And Lord, may your people hear the warning so that they may not live close to the conditions of Sodom and Gomorrah that is prevailing now. Lord, help me deliver the message of your word. We pray this in Christ Jesus. Amen. The condition of Sodom and Gomorrah is easily identifiable. In chapter 18, the word itself describes that among the many sins that that city had, the prevailing ones were sexual, lust, and all these kinds of things had extended and filled the entire city. And the word says that from the oldest to the youngest, they all practiced homosexuality. That was the prevailing sin in that city before its destruction. Nowadays, let me tell you that we are living moments that were prophesied by Jesus when he said that as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, which means the proliferation of sexual immorality, it will be when Christ is at the door. on the days of the Son of Man. And this should make us vigilant. Because if we look at those times, that means that Christ is now at the door. When we see the increase of immorality that we have had, what is the role of a church? Is the church going to be able to tell everyone that is in this kind of condition, don't worry, listen, no problem. Actually, it's your choice, it's your own life, and you can do whatever you want with your life. Or do we have the duty to pray like Abraham for the judgment of God not to fall, for Lot to be rescued? Are we going to cross our arms and just let people go their own way when we know by the word of God that the way that leads to damnation is wide and the one that leads to salvation is narrow? In all love and truth, let me tell you that the help of the church throughout the centuries has been the most significant in regards to homosexuality and helping those people that practice this kind of sin of sexual immorality, whatever you can call it, and especially in the area of lesbianism and homosexuality. The church has been one of the wonderful instruments of God to help many people come to the feet of Jesus. Let me share with you that throughout our ministry, we have seen how God has used different servants of God, leaders, brothers and sisters in Christ, to take these people out of their condition of the sin of sodomy. I remember once a person who, a young lady, 17-year-old, she did not look very feminine. And I was talking to her once, and she told me that she had problems of being attracted to other girls, and she had never fallen into a sexual sin of this nature, but she had this problem of attraction. And after I spoke with her a little while in the light of the Word of God, God began to minister to her, and I remember that she told me, I remember I saw her 3 days later, and she was totally changed, looking very feminine, actually. She was wearing makeup, wearing a dress, and she told me, Pastor, let me tell you the following. For the first time in my life, I am looking forward to having a boyfriend and getting married. Why? Because God has His hand stretched out to all the needy people. And we have seen in the church people that have been in homosexuality, and we have seen how God has rescued them. They don't understand why something like that happens to them, but then they understand under the light of the Word of God, and they take hold of God's arm, and they are highly rescuable people. These people have probably lived or practiced all kinds of levels of sexual immorality. There might have been men who have been transvestites, and they have now turned to God, and so they no longer dress as women. These people now come to church and they rejoice in the Lord, and that's nothing new. We see that when Paul spoke to the Corinthians, do you remember that Corinthian? The city of Corinth was a harbor. And harbors, as you know, throughout history, they have been places where sin converges because there's a crossing of cultures, a crossing of different practices, of different cultures, etc. So Corinth had a big channel. It was an important channel, like the Panama Channel nowadays. But in that place then, there was a lot of homosexuality practiced. And Paul was taken by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in the city of Corinth. And while he was there, many began to convert to God. And in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9 and 11, he says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And listen to this. We see here that Paul is saying that these kinds of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in verse 11 he says, "And that is what some of you were," which means that some of you that are listening to me in the church had been idolaters, sexually immoral, male prostitutes, etc., etc., swindlers, etc. But he says, you were this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, these people were highly rescuable because of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Many of the people that met in Corinth, they had come out of homosexuality. Others had been drunkards, swindlers, etc., and God had converted them because there's no sin that God can't forgive. And let me tell you, in all love and respect, if you're listening, especially those of you who have fallen in homosexuality or lesbianism, God has His hand of mercy outstretched to you, and He can help you get out of that situation. Some of you have not fallen into that in practical terms, but you have that inclination. Let me tell you that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah reached such levels of sin that they did not realize once the dawn came that fire and sulfur was going to fall on their city. Nowadays, according to some evaluations of that area where Sodom and Gomorrah used to exist, which was close to the Dead Sea in Israel, these cities had a lot of asphalt and oil. And some geologists have said that what happened was that the gases that were on the earth and in the land together with that oil caused an explosion and fire and sulfur came down. That's why when you get to the area of the Dead Sea, up to today, you smell something like sulfur, which is what the Word of God has said. And I am saying this because it's important for us to be able to help these people. We see the exhortation that the angels gave Lot, flee for your life. And in Jesus' name, let me tell you, there is a way out for all of those that have found themselves someday in any similar situation. There is a spiritual exodus possible, and God can help you. So we are going to talk about flee for your life. That's the topic. The exhortation Lot has given us is the one that He gives each one. And let us analyze homosexuality. What is it? What is its nature? First of all, let me tell you that the problem of homosexuality lies in a spiritual root. Some of you might think it's a mental, emotional problem or a confusion, but deep inside it's spiritual. Let's remember that as human beings we have three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And the problem of homosexuality is not in your soul or psychological area, but it's in the spiritual part that has an influence in the emotional area and therefore in the physical effect. So what's the question here? Why was I born this way? Some people ask. Or some people in the middle of their life begin to feel inclination towards people of the same sex. And some children have had this problem. We have even seen children, boys and girls, with these kinds of tendencies. Young people, 13-year-olds, 14 years old, and others. And sometimes even after they get married, they begin to have these kinds of problems. So where does the cause of homosexuality lie? Why are they sexually confused? What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, in Romans chapter 1, verses from 21 on, tells us about this. Let us read so that we may be able to help these people that are at high risk. So verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for their degrading of their bodies with one another." They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So where is it that we see the cause of sexual immorality? At the beginning, when they changed the truth for a lie. You see this? Because it says, they exchanged the truth for a lie. So God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts. And some people have not realized this, but some of the ways in which people can exchange truth for a lie are very subtle. The words of God remain up to now, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So while a person lies in the truth, they are being preserved and kept. But the moment that the person exchanges the truth for a lie, they enter into corruption. And let us be careful, because nowadays there is an attempt of exchanging the truth for a lie. For example, the fact that there is a global religion, a world religion, so that religious cult is given to Mother Earth, giving honor to the creature before the creator. You and I know that Earth is not our mother. God is our creator. God is the cause of all things. Of course, yes, we will take care of what we have been given by God, the earth and whatever has to do with the ecological aspect. But it's one thing to take care of it, and the other is to worship it. Earth is not the source of our existence. It's God who created all these things. So when you exchange the truth for a lie, there is corruption. And if you notice, some have not realized that they have done this. We can talk about some very subtle ways of exchanging the truth for a lie. One of them is idolatry. We read about this a little while ago. They began to worship images and reptiles and animals, etc. All these kinds of idols. And that perverted them, corrupted them in their innermost part. So we see that idolatry is one of the ways in which people can become really vulnerable to any sort of effect of spirits that may confuse someone's sexual identity. Let me explain this to you. In 1 Corinthians 10, 19 and 20, says that was sacrificed by the Gentiles was not sacrificed to idols, but to demons. And you cannot participate with demons. I mean, idols can be of wood, iron, all kinds of materials. But when a person trades God for an idol, at that moment they are exchanging truth for a lie. And once that happens, they enter into a state of decay, mental decay, and then decomposition. Why? Because it says, I don't want you to have any cup together with the demons, because what the Gentiles sacrificed was not done to pagan idols, but to the spiritual entity that was behind that symbol, which were demons. So when people become idolaters, in other words, what they are doing without knowing is a ceremony of invoking demons. So the demons come in and they begin to change their way of thinking. This is why idolatry is one of the things that God abhors the most, because it destroys the person. It can be an idolatry to money, materialism, that corrupts people. idolatry towards a boyfriend, a wife, a child. You should never put someone in first place. That's why the first commandment is important. You will love your God, the Lord your God, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength. You cannot take God out of the first place in your life. If you trade Him for someone or something, whether it's then sexual idolatry or religious or whatever, or if you place your sexual appetites as the first place in your heart, which means you make sex an idol, what happens? There are satanic influences coming behind all of this, and they begin to change your way of thinking. And then some people ask themselves, well, why am I like this? Why do I feel this urge? Well, I think I was born this way. That's not true. You were not born that way, but it was a subtle process that you were not aware of, where you traded truth for a lie, and then these influences affected you, and they might have begun even at an early age. And besides that, this can happen. To trade truth for a lie can happen when you reject God and take on bitterness. Some people make hatred their idol because they say they have suffered so many injustices. And so for them, that hatred, that bitterness is their passion. And that's what they live for. And what happens? They put that sin in first place. And then the demons come and they begin to influence their way of thinking. Another way is by believing the lie of another identity because of some rape. There are children who have been raped or abused. Some have been fondled. And all these kinds of things provoked in the children for the creation of another identity. They began to believe that they were homosexual. When is something a sin? When the will is in between. And remember, children were raped. The will was not involved. That does not mean that they willingly participated in the sin. And the problem lies when these children begin to believe the lie. Because the rapists tell them that they had participated willingly of that act, so they were to blame. Or because the rapist began to tell them things that were lies, and then the child believes them when they exchange the truth for that lie, they begin to be influenced, and they might even have their own inclinations, and they think that they were born this way, but actually they were acquired when they exchanged the truth for a lie. This is why special attention has to be given to children who have been raped, because Satan will try to instill in them ideas that the sin was committed because it was part of them already and they were to blame, and children are not to blame. So children have to renounce all the lies that the rapist told them. Another way in which people exchange the truth for a lie is by believing the misinformation that there is regarding sexual identity. Nowadays, worldwide, we see a new position regarding homosexual marriage. I mean, there has been an idea throughout the centuries that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now it's no longer that way in some countries. And people say marriage can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman as well. And those kinds of information that many, even children, are receiving at school, in universities, through information on the internet and television and the rest of the media, and through the laws that are being promoted, that misinformation, once it is believed, and remember, you cannot exchange the truth for a lie, is believed in the mind. So, when a person believes that, yes, this new philosophy is right, that is the way it is, there can be, and it is feasible to have a marriage between the same sex, people of the same sex. Once that happens, they can be affected by that which they are believing. So we have to be very careful about this. People have not realized that once they believe this and not what the word of God says, when God created man and woman and he blessed them and told them to multiply, fulfill the earth and rule the earth, they do not see homosexuality as abnormal. But we do not see homosexuality in the Garden of Eden. We see homosexuality in chapter 18 of Genesis. It was a degradation. It was not God's original plan. And this is why Jesus said that as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, it will be in the days of the Son of Man. This means that the Lord is warning us that the times would return. My question, are we seeing this? Homosexuality is being promoted and many, even Christians, are beginning to believe this. Oh, people are free and they choose whatever they want. Yes, God loves everyone. He loves homosexuals and lesbians and drunkards and adulterers, everyone. But he abhors sin. He hates sin. And the fact that you love a sinner does not mean that we are going to condone whatever they do. That is not love. That is a lack of love, because love makes you concerned about helping someone to know about their situation. For example, if a doctor gives us a diagnosis, we will not say, listen, you don't love me, doctor. You gave me bad news and I won't take your medicine. They say, thank you, doctor. Why? Because that is ethical. It is ethical to tell the truth. And this is why, and I have prayed, let me tell you, I have prayed and asked God to help us understand this. Because if we love the sinners, or those that are close to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, we need to help them come out so that they may obtain salvation. And love helps us stretch our hands to these people. So I should not believe the misinformation. Another way of trading truth for a lie is when you believe that your sexual fulfillment will happen when you expose yourself to lust, actually lust of all sorts, physically, graphically, auditory, written, and imaginative. People have come to think that sex is the greatest thing of all. God created sex, you know, but remember when we spoke about Abraham and Sarah? Sarah said, will I have pleasure at 90 years old with my husband? So Sarah considers sex as pleasure, and that is okay. God designed it for it to be enjoyed within the confines of matrimony, of marriage. And once it is outside the marriage, it becomes sinful. But the problem is that if people believe that sex is the utmost, I put it in first place, I am making sex an idol. And once they become an idol, my sexual appetites take over. And people dedicate themselves to lust, whether it is auditory or graphic or physical. Some people go on sex lines to get excited. All of that is coming through their ears into their minds and souls. Another's through imagination. They begin to build castles in the air regarding sex. And the problem is here. They are trading truth for a lie. Because the Bible says that man's utmost condition is to have a beautiful relationship with God. If we really want to be fulfilled, that is not in sex. You will not find it there. You will find it in communion with your Creator, to be with Christ. That is where you will find the greatest level of pleasure, which will help you be pleased in all other aspects of your life. You will have greater satisfaction when you eat, because you enjoy the meal that is before you, that God placed before you. If you eat those little beans with cheese and tortilla and avocado, all those things, and you will say, God, thank you, this is wonderful, this is a blessing. But when people don't have communion with God, the dish can be so expensive and so gourmet but they find it bland. They don't enjoy it. They complain about everything. Why? Because they don't have communion with God. And the Bible says that whoever is in light has communion with his peers. So a person that has communion with God will have a better experience, sexually speaking even. However, we do not need to place sex in the first place instead of God. When there has been a tergiversation, when there has been a twisting of sex, we have two levels then of lust. There are Hebrew and Greek words for lust. Lust is a strong desire for an illicit relationship, sexual relationship, the Greek koite. And lust per se goes beyond that. It is to be on fire with desire, which means it is orexis, the term orexis, which means a stretching of desire as much as it gives. When a person does not feel pleasure with someone from the opposite sex, but instead they have to depend on images of pornography through internet, television, or whatever channel, or homosexual acts, or even bestiality, because that was also practiced in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that means sexual relations with animals. Where does AIDS come from? That's the theory, that AIDS came from what I have heard. And if I am mistaken, please correct me. I'm willing to learn something new. But the problem of AIDS, as I read, began when aboriginals in Africa near Lake Victoria had sexual relations with chimpanzees, and they contaminated themselves. That's what I heard years ago. All these kinds of things were born because people were not satisfied. And there are other kinds of degradations that were also practiced in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sexual relations with corpses. And you may say, oh, that was then. There are things happening like that nowadays. They are all aberrations. We need to see all these things in the light of the Word of God. And why do all these happen? Why do all these things happen? Because normal desires were not enough, and then they began with abnormal desires, and then lust, etc. So when you change your truth for a lie, you begin to have mental decay as well as emotional decay, and something else happens. What happens is that the person who is like drunk with sex, because they have placed sex in the first place, begin to have a lack of judgment. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 11, it says, to prostitution, to old wine and new, which take away the understanding. That word, prostitution or fornication, means all kind of sexual immorality. And in Spanish, we relate that to premarital relationship, but that is only one side of sexual immorality. The word fornication means all kind of sexual deviation. And what verse 11 says is that they take away understanding. You cannot converse. You cannot have a dialogue with a drunkard. So you cannot have it either with a sexually drunk person. How many men have just cast away their children and they go after their lover? And people ask them, why are you doing? Oh, I won't be happy. And they do not realize what they are doing. And you're trying to reason with this person, but you can't, because they have no understanding. That's why there can be no dialogue with a person like this. A person who is under the effects of lust cannot understand all these kinds of things. Therefore, the word pornography, the word that is translated as fornication, is the Greek porneia, which derives the word pornography. So this word porneia meant both prostitution of the male and of the female. The word pornography is composed by porne and the word graphe, which means some kind of image, painting, or writing, which means that the people go into sexual immorality through symbols or images that they are reading or watching. And what happens then? That takes away understanding. So if an individual enters into pornography, one of the first effects that they will suffer is that they will begin to lose their discernment, their logic. They will begin to lose their logic. This makes the person go into emotional decay. And as it happened in those times, it will happen nowadays. At one point in history, there was an attempt to make fornication sanctified. What do I mean with this? The Lord exhorted the nation of Israel for them not to be deceived if they dressed fornication with religious robes. They should not accept it. In Deuteronomy, the Lord says, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18, it says, "You must not bring the earnings of a female prostitute or a male prostitute into the house of the Lord, your God, because the prostitute, the female prostitute or male prostitute, which in Spanish is called a dog, the term dog referred to a male prostitute." And you see in Revelation 22, verse 15, "Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." Who are the dogs? The male prostitutes. Those that were paid for their sexual services. And what does God say? "Do not bring the earnings of a female or a male prostitute to the house of the Lord your God." Why? Because then the worship to Astaroth or Astarte, which were two gods of the Phoenicians, these gods received money from these kinds of prostitution. So God says, "Do not do that in my house." Sadly, this was born in the nation of Israel. The cult to Astaroth or Astarte was born there. And at a point in time, the 10 tribes of Israel in the north, when the kingdom was divided, the north part accepted that cult. And you know what happened? They introduced the worship to Astaroth in the temple of God. So in the temple of God, there was an idolatric prostitution. And this is why the second book of Kings, verse 37, the kings began to cleanse the place of idolatric prostitution with the intention of doing away with all of this, because they had been trying to cover this with a religious veil. And many teachers and evangelists will say, "Oh, that is fine, brothers. You can come to the temple. Everyone is welcome." Yes, but we cannot say that if someone is practicing some kind of immorality, whether sexual or of any other nature, we cannot tell them, "Listen, that is fine. You have no problem. Everything is going to be fine with you. Don't worry. Go. God loves everyone." Yes, that is true, but He abhors the practice of sin. So the introduction of that cult in the temple meant God had accepted this.
And nowadays we see many people that call themselves Christians who say we vote for homosexuality. So it's trying to be disguised also through the laws. They say now homosexual marriage is legal. God loves everyone. That is nothing new. It's something that was practiced in the past. And in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was something that was practiced. And this helps us to understand and to make a detailed analysis about what then is homosexuality. What is it? We have spoken about the roots, the causes, when you trade truth for a lie. And how does God see this sin? It is important for us to see this, because that will help us assist the people that are in that sin. So if we go to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 and 23, it says, Abraham was in front of them. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. I think he's reading. Yes, now he will read Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. How does God see it? As detestable. The word detestable means an abomination. God loves the person, yes, but he hates the act. And that's the difference we need to draw. It's an abomination to lie, for a man to lie with a man like as with a woman. And Leviticus 20:13 says that if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. God has sentenced this sin with death. The moment that they fall into a sin like that, they self-sentence themselves to death. Romans 1, chapter 24 also tells us, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. How does God see it then? It's to insult their own bodies. God is seeing a person like this as a person who disrespects their own body, what God has created. This is why the word dishonor or disrespect is to treat, to insult, to ashamed, to degrade. That's what it means. So how does God see this relationship? As a relationship of disrespect. It is a shameful passion. In that same book of Romans, verse 26 and 27 says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. It's not an honorable thing. It's shameful. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another, committing indecent acts with other men. So we see that God sees this as indecent, as shameful, as anti-natural. Because he says they abandoned natural relationships. So a homosexual relation is an anti-natural relation. Why? Because God created the organs to fit as God created them. This is why this is anti-natural. Natural. And also, it is a result of a mind that has not been approved. And it says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, that means they did not want to remain in the truth, He, God, gave them over to a depraved mind. What is that? Something that enables them to do what ought not to be done. That is why we need to help those people that are in homosexuality and lesbianism, because it's not convenient for them. It's not convenient for you to tell them, I accept you as you are. It's like telling a sick person, me being a doctor, when I know they have cancer, I tell them, oh, don't worry, take this aspirin and you'll do fine. That's not ethical. not in this life or the coming life. People in Sodom and Gomorrah thought that that was convenient for them. However, when Lot left that day, fire and brimstone came down from heaven. Why? Because the Bible says that the kingdom of God will not be inherited by those who practice sexual immorality, but any others as well. And that's why Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And this is a small list. They are sexual immorality, a problem in sexual areas, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is what God says, and I cannot change this. This is why our responsibility is to pray for these people that are in Sodom and Gomorrah, people that are coming close to Sodom and Gomorrah like Lot. We have to pray for them and take action. The church needs to have that mercy towards them to help these lives come out of that condition. Why? Because they are in grave danger, because the Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when he speaks to the church of the Corinthians, and many of them had come out of homosexuality, tells them, do you not know, verse 9, chapter 6, that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. In other words, do not commit error. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. Male prostitutes, remember the term? The dogs? Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So, under this perspective of how God regards homosexuality, that will help us to be concerned about helping these lives. Why? Because nowadays there's frustration from the people, because there is a lack of a concrete response or answer to these women, to these people. Therefore, there have been people that have legalized this condition. 20 to 40 years ago, these people that suffered from a problem of this sort were sent to a psychiatrist or a psychologist to be helped. But nowadays, since it's not a problem, it's widely accepted, they don't have to undergo any treatment. But psychiatry itself realized that this is a problem of unnatural behavior. But the failure in helping these people had an answer of covering it under a legal disguise, under a religious disguise. Yes, we have to accept the person, but not the sin, because we are harming them if we do. What did Lot do? He began to tell his in-laws, depart from here because this will be destroyed. And the in-laws said, I think that my father-in-law is going crazy. What do we need to do? We need to help these people for them to depart from this condition. It's not that we are rejecting their lives, because we are no one to do that. We cannot reject anyone because of their sinful condition or color or social status. God loves everyone. However, since he loves everyone, he has sent the message of salvation for everyone, a message of eternal life, but also a warning of eternal condemnation. When Lot began to warn his sons-in-law and they did not want to leave, well, that was their reaction. But that's what we need to do, to warn them. Maybe they thought, we're fine and everything will be fine. But once the dawn came, they did not realize judgment came. There was a crisis and destruction. Humanism and man, through several sciences of human behavior, the sociology, psychology, philosophy, and the mixture of religions have justified this problem, saying, yes, this is so, it is normal, we have to accept it. But that is because they are frustrated because they could not solve this problem. Why couldn't they solve it? Because they have not understood that the problem has a spiritual root, trading truth for a lie. And if that is not reversed back to the original condition, they can receive all sorts of psychological, social, cultural help, but they will not resolve this. And what is the role of the church? What is your role and my role in the midst of this corruption? We need to do something, and the church is weakened. And that's the sad part, that we do not have the necessary spiritual strength and God's grace. And we're just hiding in the church. We don't want to do anything for these lives. But we at least should dedicate at least one day to pray and fast for these lives, for God to be merciful with them, to speak of Christ with them, to explain to them why they have had those changes and confusions of identity, why they have their emotional problems. These people are needy of God's love. They have been confounded, confused. This is why the Bible says, my people perish because they lack knowledge. We are living in conditions that are similar to what the Roman Empire was living prior to its destruction. There were 6 points that evidenced the destruction of the Roman Empire: the centralization of world affairs, second, the cultural unity of the earth, third, the world trade and exchange, fourth, world peace, 5, world demoralization, and 6, the mixture of world religions. These 6 signs are the very same ones that we are seeing nowadays. Globalization encompasses all of them. Globalization of trade, culture, religion, peace, authority. All these happened before the fall of the Roman Empire. So if these things have already been warnings throughout history, why are we trying to have them back again, trying to say nothing wrong is happening? Lot was warning them, but they said, let me live my life in peace. Our responsibility as Christians is that we need to believe in the grace of God to be able to flee. We see how God's grace through the angels told Lot, flee for your life. Let me tell you, there is an exit door in the name of Jesus Christ. We have seen people who have been in the world of homosexuality, fornication, adultery, and all these sexual immorality practices, but God has cleansed them, sanctified them, and they live for the honor of and glory of the Lord, and they have been blessed by God. Your responsibility and mine is to believe that God has still outstretched his hands towards them. We need to take the family and goods outside of the scope of judgment, like Lot. Brother and sister, if for some reason you have become weak in the faith and you have come closer to Sodom and Gomorrah through pornography, through trading your truth for a lie, remember, these things are dangerous, and the warning is, flee for your life. If you know of one of your children or a relative of yours, whoever that is in something like this, risking their lives, it is time to pray and cry out to God for his blessing and salvation. And preach, although people might laugh at you. They might say, I don't care what you say. They might hear it with one ear and it will come out the other ear, like the sons-in-law of Lot. But let yourself be guided by God's sovereignty. Maybe doubts will come at you like Lot. Lot was hesitating. And what did the angels do? They grasped his hand and the hands of the wife and the daughters and led them safely out of the city. Because if they remained, If they had remained, they would have been killed. So the Lord is merciful. When God grabs a hold of your hand, let him do it. And ask the Lord to take you out of there through the mercy of God. Let yourself be guided by God's sovereignty. Maybe God might use a complicated situation to do this. Remember, Lot lost everything that he had achieved throughout his life because he was near Sodom and Gomorrah. Those, you might be ready to sacrifice the blessings to save your life. Also, do not go back in the faith after having exited condemnation. Chapter 19, verse 17 of Genesis says, as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your life. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. Don't look back, which means they were already out. When you accepted Christ, God took you out already. We are out of condemnation because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is eternal life. But there is a warning. Don't look back. However, Lot's wife disregarded this. And the Bible says that Lot's wife looked back towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and she became a pillar of salt. Taking this as an example, Jesus warned the people and he said, remember Lot's wife, because many of those that had come out of condemnation felt tempted to go back in the faith. You might ask yourself, Pastor, or you might ask myself, Pastor, can a Christian be lost? Although they have been a Christian, they can be lost for eternity. When? When they look back. What does this mean? When they stop believing in Christ as their Savior and Lord, and they renounce the faith. In the word that is known as apostasy. When someone falls in this sin, then there's no turning back. And you might say, but Pastor, where does the Word of God say that? Please go to Hebrews 6, verse 4. Hebrews 6, 4 says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, that means the saved ones, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age, that means that God used these people, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. That's why it is impossible. This is why, brother and sister, you and I need to remain steady in spite of all these things we hear. Because the Bible says we have to set your eyes on Jesus, the author and consumer of our faith, redeemer of our faith. So, if you and I have walked in the faith, please notice how the faith rescued Lot. Lot was a weak Christian. Abraham was a strong Christian who was in the mountain. And here we see how God expressed his mercy towards them. Abraham's prayer to intercede for those people of Sodom and Gomorrah and for Lot. Talking about this, the Word of God says that the Lord remembered Abraham and took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me tell you, as a parent, if you begin to intercede for your children, God will do great things in their favor. If you intercede for others through faith, let me tell you, it works for the one who believed. If you say, oh, this person cannot be rescued, they can in the name of Jesus Christ. We see also Abraham in verse 27, chapter 19 of Genesis. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. And Abraham is saved. He is safe and looking at a distance. Therefore, the one that has been saved is far away from God's judgment. But the one that is near Sodom and Gomorrah, or even goes back, they are at a great risk Now, if we see these lessons of faith delivering both Lot and Abraham from judgment, the greatest benefit that we can give others is to teach them the truth. Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If someone is in homosexuality, whether he is a man or a woman, let's help them. Let's present the plan of salvation to them, and let's tell them the problem lies in you traded the truth for a lie. But God is good and merciful, and when God changes your way of thinking, He will change your behavior, and the love of God will pour over your life, and you will be fulfilled because of the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God does these things. Therefore, consequences when a person becomes weak in the faith, and this should be a warning for you and me. Whoever departs from the family of the faith, as it happened with Lot, will end up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Please keep coming to church. Do not become weak. You can come besides Sunday, you can come other days. You can listen to the word and the messages on the radio and television. You need to grow in your faith and not depart from the family of God. If you decide, "Oh, I'm going to go occasionally," be careful. You are becoming weak and you might be coming close to Sodom and Gomorrah. So constant exposure to sin will have more influence than the influence of the Bible. Parent, your children are more exposed to risks because they have internet in their cell phones, they have a computer at home, they have cable TV, they have lots of information. If they believe the lies that the world is throwing at them, they will fall into error. And suddenly that will surprise you and hurt your heart. Therefore, to be continually exposed to sin will have more influence than the parents on these young people. Because parents are more at work than at home nowadays. Also, a change of place is not a synonym of a mental change. But let me tell you this. When Lot and his daughters depart, although the daughters were physically virgins, they were not mentally virgin anymore. Sodom and Gomorrah had their influence in their lives and minds. Why? Because remember that when they reached a cave and Lot was there, the daughters got him drunk and had sex with him, and they became pregnant because they thought that they were not going to see any other man. What does that mean? That the change of place is not a synonym of a change of mindset. You can move from one church to another. You can move from one country to another. But you will still have the same condition, and you will be dragged by that carnal nature. And carnal nature does not give up in severe crisis. These girls saw that the mother had died. However, they were resolved to do whatever they wanted because they thought that life was just as Sodom and Gomorrah portrayed. And that's what Proverbs say. Although there comes economic crisis or health crisis, if the person says, "This is the way it is, this is black and it is white," they will not change him. So the carnal nature does not give up, even in the midst of severe crisis. Whoever loves sin does not appreciate God's mercy. They did not thank God for having saved them. Never. Many people never thank the Lord for having saved them. The disbeliever will end up in their private Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the daughters committing incest with their father, getting him drunk. Do you see? This is why God's exhortation is, flee for your life. And God wants us to flee for our lives. Please be careful. Do not trade truth for a lie. Satan and sin are condemned. Let me read to you from Revelations, verse 20:10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan the Lord has had victory over Satan. He has been defeated. And
The Lord will put Satan under our feet. The enemy has been defeated and sentenced to the lake of fire and sulfur. The problem is that God did not create hell for men. He created it for Satan. And the problem is that men want to follow Satan. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." I would like to tell you that there is no condemnation, but there is. If God has shown it throughout history, because He has extended His amnesty and His love for mankind, but man has wanted nothing to do with God. Remember the men that died next to Jesus on the cross? One wanted to be with Him and the other did not. There was one who insulted Him and mocked Him while they were both on the cross. He had a chance to be saved, but he did not want to. And there are millions of people like this. But then there are others like the other thief who told Jesus, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." People have believed that Christ carried on His body all their sins. Let me tell you, if you're living in homosexuality, wherever you are, listening to this, in your car or wherever, let me tell you that that sin was carried by Christ on His body in the cross of Calvary. All kinds of immorality, God carried them, because the Bible says He made Himself sin. He became sin to receive God's righteousness through Him. What do you need to do? Tell the Lord, "I renounce to believe the lie that has been in my heart and mind, and I believe that You are the truth. That what You say in Your word is the truth. I believe it." And when you accept that truth and ask the Lord to forgive your sins, and you believe that God carried your sins in His body, the Holy Spirit will break the chains, because the Spirit, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. That's what the Bible says. And once more, you will be part of that list that the Apostle Paul says. "And you were like this, but you have been sanctified by the blood of Christ and by the Holy Spirit." Brother and sister, many people, who were homosexuals will be in the presence of God with glorified bodies, praising and blessing the name of the Lord, because they believed in the love of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the best kind of help that you can give them is to extend their hands of assistance, helping them and not covering their own sin. Let us pray. Here we are, Lord. We are before You asking You for Your mercy. While you are all praying with your heads bowed, I will ask first if you could remain still. And I am going to ask the rest, wherever you are, if you are listening right here in the church or listening through the media, if you know you need the miracle of salvation. Let me tell you, a prayer of faith is enough. If it comes from your heart, if you want God to change you, forgive you, and cleanse you, please repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, forgive all of my sins. Cleanse me with Your blood. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and it pains me to have offended You with all my sins. Lord, cleanse me with that blood that You shed on the cross. I thought there was no hope for me, but Your word tells me, come. If your sins were red as blood, they will be made white as snow. You will be cleansed. They will be white as wool. So, Lord, I believe in the power of Your blood that cleanses me. And today, God, sanctify me, purify me. Thank You, Lord. I receive You in my heart as my one and only Savior and Lord, because I believe that You died for me, and by faith in Your blood I receive forgiveness and believe that You were resurrected to declare me innocent before Your presence. I receive that mercy, that wonderful mercy, and now I take on the exhortation of Your word, flee for your life. So thank You, because You have helped me flee for my life. Continue to thank the Lord and let me pray for you. Lord, I ask
for those of your children who have been close to Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, please deliver them. I want to make a second calling. If you want to be reconciled to God, if you right now are a child of God, but you have come too close to Sodom and Gomorrah, be reconciled to God and repeat this prayer with me. Lord, I repent of having become a prodigal son, and I ask for your forgiveness for all my sins. I know that I have been rebellious and I have sinned, not because of a lack of knowledge, but knowingly I have sinned. And it pains me to have done what is wrong before you, and cleanse me with your blood. Right now, God, I ask once more that you may receive me at home as one of your servants. Restore me for the honor and glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.